Today on Real Life Radio.
It doesn't depend upon who I am in life. You see, Jack, well, I'm a rich guy today. God bless you. You might say today, I'm a poor man today. God bless you. It's what are you doing with what you have, and are you giving to God, listen, to the point where it is truly worship.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, I want to let you know that if you miss a few episodes in this series, you can always catch up at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, The Worth of Worship. This Gospel of Luke series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ as only Luke, the physician, can do. Here now, as we finish up chapter 20 and begin chapter 21, we'll consider the value of worship as it relates to us personally. You see, in these verses, Jesus is teaching us the worth of his kingdom, not by parable or illustration, but by example. Worship is an individual act, whether it's through song or how we live our lives or our financial giving. Worship actually tells the Lord what we think and feel about him. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that one of the common mistakes that Christians make is thinking that they're too poor to tithe. Giving back to the Lord is not for his benefit, it's for ours. Now, in his message called The Worth of Worship, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Giving back to God what rightly belongs to him exposes the reality of my faith in God. Do I really believe in God? It will be seen by my giving to the Lord, not to you, not to me, to God. Also this, when I give to God, it causes me to get involved in ministry. You say, wait, Oh, because when you begin to give to God's work, you begin to want to know, where's this going to go? Huh? Remember those 13 boxes I told you about at the temple? Guess what? Each of the 13 boxes were labeled in Jerusalem. Support for this, support for that, for the needy, for the homeless, for the temple, they were listed. If you give, you begin to think all of a sudden, allow me to put it this way. You've got skin in the game. I'm involved in my church. How is it? I give. You give at economic hard times like this. Listen, some people say, oh man, not me. I can't afford to give. A.W. Tozer told someone who told him that, Pastor Tozer, I can't afford to give. I can't afford to tithe. A.W. Tozer said, I can't afford not to tithe. Are you a Christian? Yep. You are commanded by God to be giving back to him monetary income that he has given you. Why? That's the reason. How come? Mm-hmm. I don't like that. Exactly. That's exactly how it works. You see, if we've got our little claws dug into it, in fact, listen, if you begin, and God help this church, to never, never see any blessings from God in the way of dollars. Are you a Christian today? Don't ever think that you're being blessed by dollars. Did you make a big sale and you made $80 on that sale? Did you make $1 million on that deal? Listen, don't call it dollars anymore, Christian. You're not allowed to call it dollars anymore. I tell you about the behind scenes workings of this church. The board, when we look at what God has blessed this church to do, with what God has given this church to do, we call it tools. It's all tools. You got 1,000 tools? 1,000 tools can build stuff. You start talking about money. If you tiptoe around your house, money. It's going to consume you. But if you begin to think about it as tools, watch what God does with it. Tools are for building things. A Christian should look at it that way always. Also this. Look at this it says, and he saw the woman put in 2 mites. It's a personal encounter, my friend. It's a personal encounter with God when you and I worship him individually. When you put money, an offering, in to the worship of God, it is a personal encounter. Something is happening. That's why we struggle with it so much. Worship is a discipline, and it's something that we need to exercise. I'm going to invoke my pastoral authority here in a moment and have you hear this out. Did you see how Jesus was watching how people were giving? Now, personally, I see to it that I do not know who in this church gives money. I refuse to know. I know how the money is spent, I know how much comes in, and I know how much goes out. But I refuse to know who gives what. Pastor Chuck taught us that years ago, and he said, listen, if you begin to know who gives what, then it's going to mess up your judgment should some day come when you've got to rebuke Mr. Moneybags, you know? So I don't want to know. Which I love the freedom in that. Everybody to me is exactly the same. I don't know who, what, nothing. Here's the sweet thing. When we go to worship, there is one thing I watch, because it's important to me and I'm praying for you. When we're worshiping in song, there are Christians who worship, and we worship in all kinds of ways, right? Don't we? Sometimes we're just reverently silent, okay? Then there's people who lift their hands. Then there's people who kind of sway a little bit, okay? Then there are people, it's just different, but we're worshiping. And then there's people, because I'm watching. Sorry, I'm telling you now. Then there's people that are going like this. And it's like, what? Look, who's that? Oh, then I see people I say, it's praise the Lord that there's non-believers here, that they're coming to church because they don't know what's going on. I say, what? I don't like that song. It's kind of dumb song. They don't get it. They think the song's about them. Oh, look, they sing some. These are songs I like. Cool. It's not about you. Oh, wasn't worship good today? Oh, yeah, I really like those songs. They didn't sing them for you. They were for God. And when you don't know God, you don't dig worship. You don't understand it. It's like, what is this? A big waste. So remember how you walked around the building a few times to ditch giving? You keep walking to ditch the songs. Because it doesn't make sense to you. Because you never encountered him. But when you encounter him, I'm very aware that this shirt belongs to him. The shoes that I have on, they're his. Didn't Job say, naked I came and naked I go? Blessed be the name of God. Listen, worship is a personal encounter with the Lord. The more we worship him, the less you and I own, and the more we enjoy. Go figure that one out. That'll take you the rest of the day. God owns it all. You have an airplane, ski boat, you have a basketball, you have a car, moped, bicycle, it's God's. The more you understand he owns it all, the more you get to be free and enjoy. The moment you begin to hoard things up is when you begin to get ulcer, you get all panicky, and you're all paranoid because somebody might want your stuff. It's a weird way to live. Point number two, check this out. Point number two, the worth of worship is this, found in verse 3. Worship is an extravagant offering. It's an extravagant offering. You guys, when we come in, now look, this is Calvary Chapel. Calvary Chapel does things plain. Look at the carpets, the same color as the walls. Pretty boring. Seats are the same color as the walls and the carpet. Boring. Big rock wall. Look how big this rock wall is. Boring. Made out of plastic. I said, Pastor, I came here because I thought it was real. No. But when we come to worship the Lord, it needs to be for real. It doesn't matter if it's in this building or on the side of a hill. The truth of the matter is it should be extravagant. Didn't the kings from the east come to see Jesus as baby Jesus? And wasn't that lavish and incredible Christmas gift just extravagant? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh? This leads us to understand that it's transcendent. Worship is an awesome thing because it transcends our human status. Listen, you cannot be too rich or too poor. You are to worship. It's a wonderful thing to keep in mind. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure. Listen to this. Jesus says, give. Watch what happens. It will be measured to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be put back into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, I can't afford to give. Be careful. So, Jack, do you understand there's a massive global economic downturn going on right now? Do you understand what's going on? Yeah, I do. A lot of people are hurting. But do you understand something? Our world that we live in for Jesus is bigger than the New York Stock Exchange, America, and time itself. Do you understand that those of us who are Christians today are living for eternity? Listen, it is absolutely certain that we cannot take it with us when we go. But we get to send it on ahead now while we have the chance. We lay up, as Jesus said, treasures in heaven. That's where we put it. So the question for a wise builder would say, and a wise investor would be, how do I do that? You do it by giving it to God. It's safe in his keeping. It's amazing. Look at verse 3. So he said, that's to his disciples, truly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. Wait. Who are the other people giving? Rich people. Jesus says she's given more than all. How does he know? Because he knows her heart. All of a sudden, I'm beginning to wake up to something that's very encouraging. If I'm poor, I now have less confusion of stuff to decipher and sift through, to grab simply and give it to God. My life's not cluttered. Now my poverty becomes my strength because I'm giving it to God. The Bible says in Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? How can a man rob God? He says, this is how you rob me, in tithes and offerings. And you're under a curse, this entire nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this and see. By the way, it's the only thing in the Bible where God says, try me out on this, see if it doesn't work. Says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much a blessing that you will not be able to have enough room for it. Are you hurting right now? Yep. Then listen, I don't understand how this works, but give what you have to God. Are you crazy? I know it sounds crazy. But God says, listen, based upon this event that's in front of us, which is not a parable, which is not an illustration, which is not a story, this is a real event. This little woman came and Jesus says she gave everything. I'll explain that in a second. She gave it all. And so in the state that you're in, say, man, Jack, I only got 10 bucks left. Give to God what God is asking of you to give. But it's my last 10 bucks. It's God's last 10 bucks in your life. And herein is where worship happens. I could walk in here today and lay down $1 million in the offering because I have $10 million in savings. Or I could walk in here today and lay down $1 million because I have $1,010,000 in savings. Which one gave more? They're both $1 million. The one that leaves me with the 10 bucks. Why? Because it cost me more. Why? Because it's of a greater value because it's so rare and precious now. What's the goal? To bless him. Everything he knows about you and I. And Jesus is going to be telling us here in a moment that the rich, in this particular case, give out of their abundance. They can afford it. And look, the church or the synagogue or the temple pays its bills. They get paid anyway. The bills are paid. What's it all about? It's between God and that woman or God and that man. And if you and I are like this, having a hard time parting with it, then our hearts are messed up. We need to be careful. It's of the utmost value as well. Look at this. Worship is an extravagant offering, and it's of the utmost value to God. He said that she gave all. Two mites. You guys, it's equivalent to 1/8 of a U.S. penny in value. These little coins are paper thin. I think my daughters have some even as jewelry. They got them in Israel. They're just like little metal coins, very tiny. People in Israel wear them around their necks. They're valued at 1/8 of a U.S. penny last week. I don't know what a U.S. penny is worth now to that, but it's of the utmost value to God, our worship is. You guys, we should honestly be like this when it comes to church. Come on, honey, let's get going. We got to get to church early before they start the first song because I want to give it to God. I want to sing that song at the top of my lungs to God with my goofy voice, okay? And then when the offering comes by, you know what? I can't wait. It's going to be great to give to God, to tell him thank you. When you sing, you should see his face in front of your face. When you're giving, you should see his face in front of your face. When you're going to the store, you should see his face in front of your face. Whatever you do, shouldn't it not be just, it shouldn't just happen here. It should be happening all the time in whatever we do. It should be worship all the time.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Third and final point this morning is in verse 4. The worth of worship is that worship is an obvious result. Worship isn't a result. It is a result. When people worship God, I can tell you right now, something's happened in their lives. It happens this way too. It comes from a changed life of new priorities. Jesus says, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. Jesus didn't say they were bad. He just said, listen, everybody gave out of their, in fact, the word in Greek is superabundance. People put in the offering that which they can afford. Listen to this, you guys. The word also means to give something that you're not going to miss. Here, go ahead and take that. He can have that. How come? I'll never miss it. The word also means to give something that's disposable. I know a man who told me a couple months ago, he said, I bought $275,000 of stock in this particular company. And I said, what happens if it goes under? And he goes, well, that's money I can lose. I don't know whatever happened to his stock, or I don't even remember what company it was, but man, why don't you give it to God? You'll never lose. That's disposable. I can live without it. David said in 2 Samuel 24:24, he said, I will not give God anything that doesn't cost me. Have you ever received a gift from somebody and they're trying to communicate to you how much they love you, and so they give you something that's of great value? Doesn't that just warm your heart? I mean, you feel like a real ding-dong, right? Because you're not worthy of that thing. But the guy gives it and it's like, wow, are you sure? I had a brother in this church give me an incredible gift that had been not only his personal sidearm in law enforcement, but it had been in the presence of several U.S. presidents providing security, this particular sidearm, this Secret Service, whatever it is, gun. And he said, I want you to, you watch over the flock of God. I watched over the community. I was in the presence of presidents. And I want you to have this as a token of my appreciation. It's like, what? And you feel like this big. But it's in the heart of the giver, and you read that, and you just go, man, you guys, don't you and I have those feelings? How come we won't allow God to have those feelings? He has those feelings. Lord, I'm coming to you right now, and I'm giving you these things. I want you to have them. Remember when your little kid used to come up to you and they would bring you a little floral gift when they're 3 years old? Daddy, I got you these flowers. Or for me, it's, Daddy, I want you to drink my coffee. I made you some coffee. Where'd you get it? I scooped that out of the gutter and I put mud in it. And you go, boy, that's good. Just, they're all giggling, excited. That's how our giving's supposed to be. We also learn this, that worship is to be an obvious result because it comes from a new heart that's willing to obey. That's willing to obey. This is amazing to me. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. Again, look at the last word had. It's past tense. You guys, this statement here is absolutely radical. Here's what it means. From her poverty, this is object poverty. She has nothing. This is as she is more poor than anyone in this room will ever be. That's how poor she was. Check this out. She comes to the temple with all these rich people around. How do you think she felt about that? They're all dressed up with all their robes, blowing their horns. She comes up there with two little coins. Where'd she get them? Where'd she find the coins? Did she find them in a drawer? Was it in some pocket of some robe? Did she find it somewhere? Two coins. You say, what's the big deal? Because the Greek word usage means it was her only two coins. The word livelihood is the Greek word bios. It's what you need to live. The word means what you need to survive, what you need to sustain life. She gave what was needed to sustain life. What'd she do with it? She gave it to God. If anybody was ever justified to say, I can't give to God, I'm hungry. This is all the money I have. This is the one that could have said it. What did she do? She said, God, I'm going to give you this and I'm going to go home and die. She gave of her bios, her livelihood. It's over. She loved God so much, she concluded, I'd rather give to God and die than to rip him off for all the goodness he's done to me. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, the Bible says, so let each one give as he purposes in his own heart. Not grudgingly, the word is saddened, grieved, and troubled. Oh, here comes the plague. Put some money in there. I don't know. Put it in there. Not grudgingly. Listen, God says, keep it. And then it goes on. He says, or of necessity. The word necessity means to look good, to impress or to blend in. Put a nickel in there, will you? People think I'm cheap or anything. Isn't that funny? The Bible's got it all. But then it goes on to say, for God loves a cheerful giver. And the word Greek for cheerful is hilaros. Does that ring a bell? It's where we get the word hilarity. Here comes the offering. Woo-hoo! Offering's coming. Hey, offering's coming. Wow, right. Woo! Dr. Ironside was coming from Chicago to Glendale, California. He's riding on the train in 1944, 45 in his writings. He said he stopped somewhere in South Dakota someplace. Did a message to the American Indians there, the Blackfoot Indians in South Dakota. And they took an offering. And there's this, he said this Blackfoot Indian, huge man, over 6 feet tall, when they passed the offering by, the man said, lower it, please. And they lowered it, and he said, lower. And they lowered the plate, and he said, lower. And the usher lowered it even lower, and the Indian stepped in the plate, and he said, okay. Did you get that? Okay, let me tell you. He didn't have anything to give, so he put himself in the offering. And then finally we end with this, it's sacrificial. Worship is an obvious result because it comes from a sacrificial life at great expense. It's supposed to be expensive, you guys. He said, Jesus said, out of her poverty she gave. So listen, I don't want to freak you out or anything. Let me put it to you this way. If you never step foot in this church again, wherever you go, will you start tithing at that church? Start tithing at that work, at that church. Here's the reason why. Because God wants to bless your life. Well, can't he bless me without giving? Yeah, he can, and he has. But the thing is, it's for you to have a heart well-adjusted. And besides, you guys, don't you want to get before the Lord in heaven and find out all the wonderful things that you are involved in and reaching the lost to the ends of the earth? Man, I got to tell you, and we'll end with this. This is very personal. We take what offerings we receive so seriously that I want, in the end, to you, I want you, who this is your church, I want you to stand before God in the end, and God says, okay, let me see. You reached people in China. There's thousands of people in Russia that came to know you, and there's all this people that were out at sea on the maritime radio network, they got saved. Sailors got saved at sea. Even a couple of pirates in Somalia got saved. And there's people in Africa, they got fed and clothed and came to know my son Jesus. And you're going to be going, I did that? I mean, are you sure his books are okay? And you're going to say, Lord, when did I see you hungry and fed you? When did I see you naked and I clothed you? Lord, when did I see you in prison and I visited you? And the Lord's going to be able to say, you know those crazy guys at Calvary Chapel when you were tithing there? They took every penny of that and they made sure that it went to the furtherance of my name. I take that very seriously. I know that I will be terrified to stand before God in the end. It's going to be amazing. Paul the Apostle said it's going to be terrifying. So it's going to be terrifying. But I do have a great sense of confidence also to stand before him. And that's very cool. Amen. Could I have prayed more? Oh, yeah. Could I have preached harder, studied longer? Oh, yeah. Could I have given more? Yep. But you know what? I'm going to say, Lord, I plead the widow mite. I plead the widow mite upon my widow life. And the widow influence I have in all this widow world, Lord, I didn't give much, but what I gave you came from a heart that loves you. And I want you to be able to say the same thing.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called The Worth of Worship. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. What is the ultimate point and purpose of Bible prophecy? Is it to scare us or prepare us? There's a special book by the prophecy pros, Jeff Kinley and Tom Hampston, that breaks it all down and makes it real simple, answering questions like, why are there different interpretations of prophetic Bible scriptures? How do we know which is correct? When it comes to symbolic prophecies, how do we decide to interpret them literally or metaphorically? The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times simplifies difficult and confusing aspects of last days prophecy using easy-to-understand language, diagrams, images, and statistics. If you've ever been unsure about the purpose, the context, or timeline of end times prophecy, let the Prophecy Pros put your mind at ease with this practical and informative guide. A copy of the Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times will be sent to you when you donate to the Ministry of Real Life today. Get your copy at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.